Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the band, seeing the broken in a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad atoms, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. So I was watching this show on TV, After Truth, the disinformation and the cost of fake news. It was on HBO, and it's up to date show this year, and I was just sitting there chilling during the virus and the Hanta, and the world is shut down and social distancing and you can't leave your house. I mean, we're almost at a martial law lockdown phase here. So I'm watching TV and sifting through things, trying to find things to do and doing various things around my crib at the Forella Palatial. I cleaned out freezers, and one of my projects will be to clean out this giant junk food closet I have that's just overpouring with stuff. I mean, just absolutely endless bags of chips and boxes of munchies, and I mean, you name it, popcorn, Triscuits, Ritz crackers, Pop-Tarts, it's got everything. I mean, literally, if you open the door to this closet, an avalanche of junk food usually comes pouring out onto the floor because it's so unbelievable. It's just stacks upon stacks upon stacks of just junk food. And it is the most embarrassing thing ever. So I'm going to clean it. That's my goal, is to do one project at a time. If we're trapped here forever, then I might as well head down into the Forella Palatial basement, where I still have tons of stuff from my move. So I moved across town 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. And I was living over here at this crib, and I had a great setup. I had the Animal Kingdom backyard where I had the Pharrell Aquatic Center. I had a barbecue pit area, a grilling area. I had even a yard perfect for soccer or wiffle ball. It was like a 40-yard stretch of perfect end-to-end soccer or a wiffle ball field. I had it all going. And we had a lot of bashes back there, believe me you. And then I moved over to the new Forella Palatial, which I bought a bigger house. But it was the house that my wife, 34C, grew up in. She wanted this house, so I was able to get it. One thing led to another, and we moved over here. So when I moved over here, you know, when they move you in, they just start stacking boxes. And it basically goes from the basement up. The house was really old, and I blew out bathrooms, and I made this gigantic bathroom that everyone could share, and it's turned out to be a good idea, and we all use it, and it is what it is. And it's really the only shower room in the house. When I had two bathrooms, I had two showers, but the one bathroom was so small, literally you couldn't even drop a cable in it. You'd be sitting in there with your knees and your chin trying to bust off a yam, and it just was impossible. I'm like, we got to get rid of this bathroom. So eventually we did all that. So projects are happening left and right. And then I'm thinking I need to get down and start going through the boxes that I never went through 4 or 5 years ago when I moved in here. It's just a disaster. So I figure if I'm going to be here in this virus prison, I might as well start doing these projects. So I'm doing one project at a time. And I might even do the project with you. Who knows? It could lead to a do it live on the podcast type project. Maybe the junk food closet or the basement breakdown of boxes. All that could happen. But anyway, one thing led to another, and I was watching this show, and it really blew my mind. I was sitting here watching it going, what is happening here? Because at first I was like, why am I watching this? This is political stuff, and I'm kind of bored with all that. I don't really like politics and picking sides and, you know, Democrat, Republican, and all the rest. But this was more about fake news and how it affects the world, and it affects elections, and it certainly affects everything now with the guy in office, Trump, who's constantly hailing CNN as fake news, and then he does these rallies, and people scream and yell venom and hate and death to CNN and all the rest. And then, of course, Fox News is Hannity, who I'm friends with. I know Sean. I've known him forever, and I've always gotten along great with the guy, but I know that he's a lackey for the Republicans. I get all that. That's fine. I don't get involved. I don't get in the middle of it. But I was watching this show. I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. They showed some guy from the DNC who was 27 years old, who they believe leaked information to WikiLeaks, and so they killed him. I'm sitting here watching the show, and I'm thinking to myself, what is happening here? They actually killed this guy. I mean, literally murdered him. And then when it turned into all these stories about what he was doing, that he was leaking information, and then all these people, these freaks, like the InfoWars guy and then Hannity. They just showed how it went up Reddit to the InfoWars to Fox, how everything went up this food chain and how it ended up in the public consumption. It started small. It was online. It was just a story here or there or a rumor. Next thing you know, it blew up into this gigantic story, and they were literally turning this guy into a criminal, that he was this dirty felon criminal, and that he was involved in leaking information about the DNC, the election, Hillary Clinton, everything else. And so they killed him. And they showed this guy, his family, his brother. They hired a lawyer to prove that all these stories were false and none of it was true, and that he was just simply murdered because he worked at the DNC. And then they actually got it down to the point where every single thing that Fox News said about him, this guy, Seth Rich, I think was his name, that it was all false. All the stories were not true. None of it was true. It was all a bunch of BS. And Fox never admitted that they erred in their reporting. And then Hannity at one point came out and said, due to respect to the family of this guy that was murdered, they're going to stop talking about it. But they would never, including Hannity, ever admit that they were, frankly, spewing lies about this guy, the 27-year-old Seth Rich, who was killed. They just would never admit that they were reporting fake news and that they were reporting falsities about this guy, and that his family obviously has sued Fox and everyone else that said things about him that weren't true. And it's basically ruined their life. And it is the most unbelievable thing ever. They showed this other story, which was equally disturbing, where they showed this pizza parlor in D.C. that is famous. It's called like Comet Ping Pong or something. And it's this pizza parlor in D.C. that's famous. People go there and they just eat pizza and play ping pong. And it seems like a nice enough idea. It's very non-political, but they had a lot of politicians, a lot of reporters went there regularly because they frankly had kick-ass pizza and it was a fun place to go. You go and eat and play ping pong, and it's a great concept and everybody loves the place, very popular place. Suddenly the story turns into that there was this conspiracy that started at the place. And it went online, and the next thing you know, they triggered all these words like pizza and ping pong, and all of them were alleged conspiracies and words for what started out as a rumor that blew up into the most unbelievable international story, that they were actually, you can't even make this stuff up, that it was a place for pedophilia, selling of children for sex, and that these politicians were in on it, and that there were kids getting raped there and everything else. I was sitting here watching and going, you can't even be telling me this story. It was so surreal. I was watching this, and this story blew up on the internet. It was endless. It was 5 million hits a day. It was one story after the next of these conspiracies that there were children being sold there for sex, that they were being kidnapped and stored there in the basement of the place, and that they were being tortured and raped. And I was sitting watching it, just blown out of my mind that people were that stupid. And then one thing leads to another, and they literally showed some guy, this is a true story, I couldn't even believe it, some guy from North Carolina, he drove up and literally filmed himself while driving that he was going to go to this Comet pizza parlor and he was going to take care of it himself. And he was convinced that all these politicians were in on it, big name politicians. If you watch the show, you'll see it yourself. These are a bunch of people I could care less about. I have absolutely no interest in any of them. All these senators and assemblymen and all this other list of characters that they named in this story. But it just was one after the next that were linked to this child smuggling ring at this pizza parlor. I mean, who in their right Pharrell in mind would fall for this? So what does this guy do? He films himself driving from North Carolina to Washington, D.C., that he was going to protect the people that couldn't protect themselves. He was just going to handle it himself. So this clown shows up at this pizza parlor in a neighborhood of D.C., and he goes in with an AR-15, and he also had a 9 Glock and a knife, and he was loaded with a full body armor, the whole deal. He had all kinds of ammunition on him. He was ready to annihilate everyone. He was ready to kill everyone. So what did he do? He walked into the restaurant. There's all these people in there eating. The place is always busy. Everybody's minding their own business. Women, children, families, they're all in there eating. And this guy comes walking through with a submachine gun in the restaurant. Luckily, he didn't just start spraying the place with bullets. What he was on a mission to do, it would appear to me, was to find these children that had been smuggled and that were being hidden there and raped there and sold there for sex. and that they were in like some kind of a storage facility there underground. The guy went in there. He was tipping up tables. He was knocking things over. He was shooting the gun into closets and into offices, trying to find where they were stashing these kids that were being raped. Everyone in the restaurant scattered and ran for their lives because he walked in and went straight to the back to the office, and he was looking to take care of business. And then when he went all the way to the back, they were running around telling everyone to get out of the restaurant. So people were like, no, we're fine. We're just going to eat here. We're good. Don't worry about us. We're here to support you. This place is really open to gays and lesbians. They have a real open policy that everyone's welcome, all walks, all races, all sexualities, the whole deal. And these people didn't understand when they were telling them that the guy had a submachine gun and he was in there and he had an AR-15. He was going to kill everybody. And he had a handgun as well that he was there to kill. And then they all ran for their lives. The police show up. The place is surrounded out in front. They block off the whole city block. And they film it, and they show this guy. Eventually, the police get him to come out of the restaurant when he can't find anyone, and he's back there going through all the offices. And once he figures out that he's been had, that the place doesn't have a child smuggling ring going on, and that he's been duped by fake news, he eventually comes out of the restaurant and gives himself up. And they walk him backwards into the middle of the street and get him down on his knees, and then the cops pounce on him and cuff him, and they're like, what are you doing? And then he said that he was there to take care of the smuggling ring. He was there to handle it, and he was going to catch him, and he was going to take care of it. Bottom line, kill everyone that was running it. He was going to kill all the people that were running the smuggling ring, and he was going to save all the children. And the police are like, what the Pharrell are you talking about, bro? You are completely tripping. And it was all fake news. It was all BS. None of it was real. And that some guy fell for that, and he had a wife, kids, the whole deal, a job, a career, and he put it all on hold, loaded up his car with ammunition and AR-15 and guns, and drove across state lines, drove from North Carolina to Washington, D.C., to a neighborhood to go in and slaughter people that are running a child smuggling ring and a pedophilia ring. He can't even make this stuff up. I'm sitting here watching it going, what is happening in this world? And then they show this Mark Zuckerberg guy from Facebook, and they blame him for all kinds of stuff. So anyway, they blamed Facebook as well for people using it to affect elections and pour misinformation out and fake news out and destroy lives and everything else. And they made Zuckerberg sit in front of the Senate and get pepper sprayed with questioning from all these senators for 12 hours one day. And I was just sitting here watching this thing, blown away that this stuff's going on and that the government has said that it's an actual terroristic threat to our country, that all this fake news and misinformation and everything is dangerous and affects people's lives, and that we're at risk because of it. I mean, this is incredible. I was just sitting here just blown away that we live in a world where people are actually trying to fool people into believing stuff, and they're so desperate and pathetic and weak that they want to put out stories that basically ruin people's lives. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I thought I had problems. We got a virus pandemic going around the world. There's people with drinking problems, drug problems, marital problems, mental health problems, literal health problems, you know, diabetes, cancer, all kinds of cancers, and just endless amounts of problems. But then this is what we're worried about, is fake news. I mean, I have literally seen it all. Honest to God, like, you'd think you'd worry about things that are going to kill people, but at the end of the day, the fake news is killing people. I mean, this makes me sick to my stomach. I'm watching this going, there are some demented people out there. I mean, for sure.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's crucial that we talk on the Pharrell on a Bench podcast as much as possible and with periodic interruptions and anything else that's going on in the world with information as pertaining to the Pittsburgh Steelers, young gong 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 gong. The Pittsburgh Steelers. By the way, the guy that I'm watching on Curb Your Enthusiasm, he looked a lot like Franco Harris. You have to admit, Connor, honestly.
A little bit, yeah. The older Franco Harris, the now Franco Harris, not the original Franco.
Who is clearly overlooked when it comes to the greatest players of all time in the NFL's illustrious history, that Franco is passed over because of the modern, what have you done for me lately world we're living in, the instant gratification world we're in now, where people only think of the players that they've seen in the last year or two.
I don't think it's like that. I just think that there's players that were more athletic and more exciting to watch.
Clearly, you are inept in your concepts of the past greatness that occurred on the football field in the 70s and 80s.
I understand how good he was. He wasn't blazing fast. He was just a great player.
Oh, so you're a great player, but you have no other skills?
I'm not saying that, but if you put him next to Eric Dickerson, who's more exciting to watch?
Franco.
That's your opinion?
Listen, my loyalties to the Steelers are pretty obvious and clear to the fans, and yours are phony.
I'm a real Pittsburgh fan, but I'm an honest football fan, and I understand when someone's better than another guy. Like, we have Juju, but I'm not saying Juju's the best shaver in the NFL because, well, he isn't.
But he is. And I have to ask this question. Why are you working out with pink weights?
Because we are filming in McKenna's room, and these are hers, and I need to get my gains in while we record.
Okay. Just so you know, Gunner's working out while we're doing the show. So you're suggesting to me that there's actually a better receiver in the NFL than Juju, who you have multiple home and away jerseys of. Your dedication to him is painfully obvious to your friends and your colleagues at school. They know that you're a Juju fan, but you're going to sit here and mock him on the Pharrell on a Bench podcast, saying there's better receivers than him. God forbid.
Juju's my favorite player, and he has been since he joined the Steelers when he got drafted. But it's just blatantly obvious. I mean, I'm not blaming him for last year because the quarterback situation was not superb, we'll say, with Mason Rudolph and Hodges. But I don't know. I think if he puts up better numbers this year, he could be in the statistical category for being one of the best receivers in the game. But going off of last year, he wasn't anything incredible.
So if you were the Steelers and you had a chance to get Cam Newton or famous Jameis as a backup to Big Ben. Now, we know that they like Mason and they pretend like they like Duck Dynasty. But in reality, you saw him, was it the week of Christmas?
Right before Christmas, I think.
And so the Duck Dynasty had about, what, two first downs in that game. He threw a Hail Mary at the halftime for a touchdown. We thought they were in the game. But no. Oh, was it Rudolph that threw that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, furthering my point, the Duck sucks and never did anything. He came in that game and literally couldn't get a first down. He's atrocious. You're telling me that you would rather have that hack than famous Jameis or Cam?
You never let me answer the question.
Well, if you even lean that way, you could get hurt.
I'd love Jameis Winston. I think he's a stupid player. He doesn't make the greatest decisions, but I think Big Ben could teach him a lot about throwing crazy balls and stuff like that. The thing with Cam Newton is that he's more mobile and he's also more injury prone than Jameis. I know Jameis had a few injuries this offseason that he had to handle, but I think Jameis played really well with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and I think he'd be great for the Steelers as well.
So let's say they got him and they decided that they were willing to take a risk on him because they believed that Big Ben and the offensive coaches and Tomlin and everyone else could actually coach him and make him a better player than he was in Tampa, where he threw all the picks, 30 TDs, 30 picks, but he threw for 5,000 yards. The guy definitely has a cannon, but he's just stupid. Do you think they could coach the stupid out of him?
I think they can. I think that the Steelers have some of the best coaches in the NFL. I think Tomlin should have won Coach of the Year. I stand by that. But yeah, I think Jameis could learn a lot under Big Ben and all the coaches in Pittsburgh, and I think that he could be really good for the future because he still is young, and he still has a ton of potential left.
Would you rather have him as the backup to Ben or Mason Rudolph?
Oh, Jameis in a heartbeat. Rudolph. I was very excited for Rudolph early in the season. I thought he could have an impact on the team. We could be really good, and I was just completely wrong. He's not what I thought he would be, and I don't think he's what any Steeler fan thought he would be. But I wouldn't say we should just give up on him, but I definitely would rather have Jameis than him.
So let's go back to when he got in the fight with Garrett. I don't believe that he said that. I don't believe he was dropping N-bombs because no one on the football field reiterated that. No one heard it. No one on his own team heard it. No one on the Browns heard it. The NFL refs didn't hear it. The audio of the game, which they record a lot of players on the field now with NFL films, there was no evidence whatsoever of that happening. The question is not, did he do it? Because I don't think he did. I think Myles Garrett is tripping. And I think that, frankly, Rudolph should have sued him for slander because he accused him of being a racist. And it never happened, and he ruined his reputation. Now people think that Mason Rudolph's a racist. First of all, I want to get your opinion on that. Should he have sued Garrett, who got his job back, and then when he got his job back, the first thing he did was start doing interviews about Rudolph being a racist, and I think he's a piece of shit.
If Rudolph would have sued him, I think it would have just made the Steeler-Browns game even more dirty than it already is. I think it would just gotten worse and worse to the point where someone's going to be afraid for their lives in those games. But on the legal standpoint of it, I think what Garrett did as soon as he got his job back and going on interviews and still accusing Rudolph after it, it was pretty much proven that he didn't do it through all the other players in the field. I think that there's definitely a possibility he should have, but I don't think it was necessary for him to sue him, but I think that was just his opinion and how he felt about it. I think he could have done whatever he wanted, and I think maybe not have suing might have been the good choice, but I think if he had sued, he definitely could have made some profit off that.
Do you believe that Garrett has damaged his own reputation by accusing him, Rudolph, of being a racist, and that no one believes him except maybe the reporter that did the interview with him? I think she actually believed him, and that's probably why he did it with her, but I don't think anyone actually buys his crap. Do you think he learned a lesson at all that he made this guy look bad, or does he actually still believe that that guy said that when no one else does? Does it damage his reputation in the league that people know he threw Rudolph under the bus and was willing to be a guy that accused some guy of being a racist when he wasn't?
I think he just lost his temper and he needed to blame something, so he came up with that. Going back to the interview, I guess if they're the only two people in the world that believe that Rudolph said it, then that's on them. But I think it hurts Garrett's reputation as a player. If I'm a team, I don't want him lining up with my players. I don't want him sitting next to my players and rooting with them and playing with them. I just think that Garrett as a player now is just looked at completely differently from opposing teams, and his own team should look at him differently for what he did. I think what he did was extremely messed up, and I think that he's not in the greatest spot now with his team or in the entire league, and I think that his job's still on thin ice. He does that again, he's done forever.
I think he's a really good player that now has a dent in his armor. I think that he's got a hit against himself, and he kind of dug his own grave. Now, let me ask you about the situation. Did you think that Mason Rudolph was candy ass? Because I thought that he got up from the situation, and I think he kind of escalated it, tried to fight Garrett, tried to get into it with Garrett, tried to get physical with a guy bigger than him, stronger than him, and he was going to get his ass beat. I think he knew that, but he also knew that guys like Pouncey would protect him. So that's kind of wussy in itself. The guy that picks a fight knowing people are going to protect him, but then he got clubbed in the head with a helmet. Did you think that by trying to fight him and be a tough guy, knowing that guys were going to defend him, that he was candy ass?
Not at all. I think that in the moment, you're not thinking, this guy just sacked me, obviously full potential, as hard as he could, with like 30 seconds of, I think that's completely useless. I don't think he was thinking in the moment, oh, Pouncey's got my back. I think he's just like, I'm a grown man, I'm going to stand up for myself. And yeah, Pouncey and the other old linemen ended up helping him out, obviously. But no, in the moment, there was no way he was like, oh, I'm only doing this because I know they'll be there to protect me. And I don't know if you know this, Garrett 6'6". Rudolph's 6'5". He's not that much smaller than him. Obviously, he's not even one-third of the strength Garrett has. But still, I think he just went in, grown man with his ego, and he wanted to get what he deserved with that.
All right, so now that we've established that he's a wussy, let me ask you about Big Ben. He's been throwing, and he's throwing without pain, and that has to excite everyone in Steeler Nation all over the globe. But I have to tell you, he looks like the Unabomber with the beard that he's rocking. It is really, I mean, really out of control. It's like Fitzmagic's. It is out of control.
I think it's kind of funny. I kind of like it. I think it just adds a little toughness to that big burly frame of Big Ben. I think it makes him look like he's a lumberjack and he's going to be going on that field and he's going to be destroying teams, looking like he's been chopping down trees all week.
He does look like a lumberjack or a little bit like a young Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus got the white beard, just kind of like the little like coffee stain beard he's got going. But I don't know, I stand by that he's going to look cool going into games, going against teams, and he's just going to be looking like an absolute monster.
Do you think that there's actually chipmunks and squirrels living in that beard?
Probably not, no. I don't think that's how it works.
Do you think that there's crack rock in the beard somewhere deep inside the bowels of the beard?
Definitely possible. He's probably storing a few things in there, maybe a playbook or two.
What about a weapon, like a shank or a gun that he could store in there in case of a all-out brawl with the Browns?
He doesn't need that. He's big enough. He could take down anyone.
Do you believe that Big Ben will have a big year and come back and just simply go off? Or do you think it's the beginning of the end for Roethlisberger and he's going to start going down the other side of the mountain?
I mean, he's already old, so it's obviously going to keep declining, but I think he's still going to have a great year, or at least I hope he has a great year. But the thing with him, he's kind of like a better Jameis Winston, I like to call him, because he throws a lot of picks but doesn't throw that many picks. He doesn't throw 30 picks, but I think he's got to make better decisions, and now he's just got Juju and James Washington and Deontay Johnson. He doesn't have that AB to just chuck the ball up to. I think he's going to have to be more precise on his throws. He's going to have to think more. I think that he can have a great season.
Do you think that they're going to go to a two tight end set with McDonald, and now they have Eric Ebron? How do you feel? Because Ebron's better than McDonald, but do you believe that Ebron will help make McDonald better and challenge him to become a better tight end, and that they could run a two tight end set offense with less influence on the 20-plus yard pass that has been a staple of Big Ben? Back in the day, it was AB. Before that, it was Hines Ward. Now they have Juju and Washington and Johnson. I'll give you Johnson. But do you believe that now that they have two really talented tight ends, that their offense is going to come inside of 20 yards and then make the 20-plus yard pass a more dangerous weapon for them by focusing on an underneath game of somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 15-yard passes, moving the ball in short chunks instead of trying to go for it 20-plus?
Well, Ebron's not like a slow guy. He can still get those big plays. Vance McDonald obviously doesn't have the same speed, but they're still both really, really, really good tight ends. I definitely think Ebron has the edge. He's definitely better, but I think that it's important that the Steelers spread the game everywhere. I think I'd be cool with them having, like, don't throw 20 yards every single play, because they don't have AB. AB was incredible. It's sad that he lost his mind and had to go, but I think Big Ben's going to have to change his game a lot with all the new players. And I don't love running a two tight end set. I think it's better to have three wide receivers on the field. There's a lot more athleticism and potential to have bigger plays. But I think Ebron should be the main set tight end and the guy that should play the most. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the two tight end set.
I am. I actually think it's going to become a huge weapon for him. Do you think that of all the signings, like Gordon in Denver, Gurley in Atlanta, and some of the moves that have been happening, that the Ebron deal, the Wormley deal, the Watt deal, they got the fullback Watt to go with his brother TJ. I think the Wormley guy is going to end up being a great player for the Steelers. He never was in Baltimore. I think he's going to turn into something in Pittsburgh. As a defensive tackle, I'm excited about him. Do you feel like the Steelers, that they've had a great free agent signing period?
Compared to their normal standards, yeah, but they obviously haven't gone out and made any big deals. I still think they have a lot of holes to fill. One being wide receiver, they do need more of a star, honestly. I think Juju's a great receiver, obviously, my favorite player, but I think that it's better if we have two really good receivers, and I think Deontay Johnson and Juju can grow into that incredible two-receiver set the Steelers have had for a while when they had AB and Juju, but I think that we could have filled running back because James Conner's injury issues are definitely painful. I think at $8 million a year, I think it would have been great to sign Melvin Gordon if he only took that small deal with the Broncos, which I do think was a really dumb deal to make because they already had two really solid running backs, Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay. I think Melvin Gordon was just a signing that made no sense, and they just signed him off the name.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So if you look at your situation where you live, as opposed to Pittsburgh, that you live outside of New York City, and that all your friends, aren't they for the most part Giant and Jet fans?
Yeah. Most of my friends are Giant fans. It's kind of funny, though, because the Giants and Jets are never good. Obviously, they'll say, oh, we got Saquon, or oh, we've got Jamal Adams, but the Steelers are just a more rounded team, and I really see no threat around my friends as football fans because they're really just fans of these poor, poor Jet and Giant teams.
So what do they think of you being a Steeler fan and waltzing around with your Steeler jerseys on and your Steeler coat and your Steeler jacket, your Steeler gloves and your Steeler attitude? Do they think you're a freak or like a communist?
No, no one really cares much because I know a lot about football, so I could relate to anything they're saying about like the Giants or Jets. But the main thing is just when we'll talk about like our favorite teams and stuff, I'll just talk about the Steelers, and none of them can really relate to anything Steelers except for like one or two of them. But I think that being around people that aren't Steeler fans, I think it's actually fun because I get to brag about the Steelers a little bit because compared to the Jets and Giants, they're way better in. I just like being a Steeler fan in an area like this where I could just brag about them all the time.
So the Steelers are playing the Cowboys in the Hall of Fame game in Canton in the summer if, you know, the pandemic is calmed down by then. You know, they have a great rivalry with the Cowboys over the years with the Steelers in Super Bowl glory, but they also lost to the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. With regards to, I don't even want to talk about that loss. I'll never forget, I was at Yellowstone when they lost that game, Yellowstone National Park, and I was trapped on a snowmobile 3 miles from anywhere with a bottle of Goldschlager. It kept me alive. I would have died. They saved me just in time for the Super Bowl kickoff, and then I would de-thaw from frostbite and watch the Steelers lose the Super Bowl. There's nothing worse than watching your team lose a Super Bowl. I saw them lose to the Cowboys. I saw them lose to the Packers. But I saw them win 6 Super Bowls, including lately the Seattle game and the Arizona game, where Big Ben showed off his wares to Santonio Holmes in the corner of the end zone in a great Super Bowl ending and a huge win for Roethlisberger. Do you believe that the best rivalry that they have had in their history is with the Cowboys?
I don't think so. I think you got to give it to one of the division rivals, like the Browns, the Ravens. But obviously, historically, the Cowboys are another great team. Steelers, historically, are probably a top 3 team. I'd put them probably number 1 because of how rich they've been in history. They've always been good, really. And teams like the 49ers and the teams like the Patriots. The Patriots have been good recently, but their history isn't as rich as the Steelers. And the 49ers have a rich history, but again, they don't have as many Super Bowls as the Steelers do. I wouldn't say the Cowboys are their greatest rivalry, but I definitely think there's a rivalry there. I remember a few years back, I saw the Steelers play the Cowboys, and I think the Cowboys smoked them with Zeke Elliott. Had like an 88-yard screen pass. I think that's one of the plays I remember. It was like a primetime game. It was very sad. But yeah, I don't think anyone really cares much about, I mean, since there's no sports on right now, I think people will care more about like the Hall of Fame game because any sport anyone can get their hands on as of right now due to the pandemic is just going to be incredible because people are just dying for sports. But again, I don't think the Hall of Fame game's that big a deal.
So you went to see the Steelers play the Jets. I think they're actually playing the Giants this year at MetLife, which is right down the street. We went to the Jet game. It only cost me $1,500 to sit on the 50-yard line. I will say this much. It was the worst game I've ever seen in my life, but we did have great seats, and it was a nice day. Remember, it was like 48 degrees in Christmas time, which was a miracle, and we did not freeze our asses off, which is what I was worried about, and it was crystal clear blue skies and wonderful. Is that what you want to do, is go see the Steelers and Giants and do a repeat trip to FemLife to watch another Steeler game?
Yeah, but this time I'd like to see them get the win. I'd like them to just go off against the Giants, because in regards to the Jets and Giants, since all my friends are Jets and Giants fans, I'd say I hate the Giants because most of my friends are Giant fans. So beating the Giants would hit home for me, because it would be amazing to brag to my friends for the rest of the year telling them that the Steelers beat the Giants.
Who do you think is going to be a better running back for them, Snell or Connor? Connor's had a lot of injuries and problems staying on the field. I think he's kind of been a disappointment. He had a nice start to his Steeler career and got everybody all excited, putting up big numbers. But then he never did anything ever again.
I think injuries hurt him a lot. I think he is still a great player. If his body can handle the wear and tear in the NFL, I think he'd go back to what he was doing 2 years ago, where he carried my fantasy team for a while. I hope he can make a comeback and start playing better than he did last year. And I think Snell's also a great running back, but I also don't think it would hurt drafting a running back in the draft, such as Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin or Cam Akers from Florida State. I think they'd have a great impact on the Steelers. Personally, I'd rather have Jonathan Taylor. I think he'd be incredible for the team.
So up front, do you like him with Pouncey, DeCastro, Villanueva, and the line that they have, guys like Feller, Gray, Okorafor? Do you like their line protecting Big Ben? We need to keep him upright this year and not let him take millions of shots like he's always taken in the past. And they've got to be able to run block. I mean, they've got to start pounding the ball better and opening up the passing game. When you can't stop the run, you definitely cannot stop the pass if you're a defense going against the Steelers.
Yeah, I think the loss of Ramon Foster may hurt. With the signing of Wyniski, is that how you pronounce it?
Wisniewski.
Wisniewski. I think he'll be a great guard for them. I agree with what you were saying. I hope they could open up the running game a little more. As they do that, the wide receivers and the tight ends can get open more, because people are going to be more focused on Connor or Snell. And I hope that Connor and Snell both have a great season. I don't want them to run a committee, but I think it'd be good if they interchange the two running backs. And the more you can get the receivers open, the better the team's going to play.
So defensively, there's guys that like Stephon Tuitt on the outside, 6'6", monster. Inside, Cameron Hayward, a tackle. There's no doubt about it. Bud Dupree, who they tagged. I think T.J. Watt and Dupree are both badasses. And I think Joe Hayden at corner has been fantastic, and I'm glad they locked him up.
Yeah, I think that's great. Cam Hayward was the second best defensive tackle last year in the league, only behind Aaron Donald. Hayden's really good. Steven Nelson's really underrated. He had an incredible season for the Steelers. And T.J. Watt, I think he should have won Defensive Player of the Year this year.
What about Minkah Fitzpatrick? He made a huge difference for the Steelers, and I think he's got a gigantic future with them.
Oh, I love Minkah. I got his jersey. I love Minkah. For the first few weeks when he got traded, he was incredible, getting the pick after pick after pick and just destroying offenses. And it was incredible. I think after his great spurt, I don't think he got thrown to more than two times the rest of the season.
What about your boy, the Boz, the kicker? Do you think he's going to do a good job?
So back to 2 years ago when he was horrendous, I was just appalled by how bad he was. And then last year, he played really, really well. I think hopefully he can go back to what he was doing a few years ago and what he was doing last year, and not what happened 2 years ago. And I think that the more consistent he becomes And the better he plays, the Steelers are just going to keep getting better and better.
So do you like Tomlin as your coach? There's a lot of people in Pittsburgh that have soured on him. I actually think he's done an incredible job. And I thought he did a great job last year with Big Ben out.
I thought he should have won Coach of the Year, like I said before. But I love Tomlin. I think he's great. I think he's great for the players. I think the players love him. And I just think the general consensus within the Steelers organization is that Tomlin can get the job done.
Obviously, they brought in Wisniewski because Ramon Foster retired and B.J. Finney left. Wisniewski has been around forever. Hopefully, he can stay healthy because he's got some mileage on him.
I hope we're going to need him to replace Foster. And again, if he could just open up the run game and make the Steelers have an impact running the ball, that'd be great. Like a lot of players in the Steelers, he's just got to keep his body from falling by the wear and tear.
Do you think they brought in Watt to keep his brother happy?
Well, Roosevelt Nix was also very injury prone, and it was important to get a new fullback. But yeah, I think it was mainly to get TJ Watt locked up for the rest of his career to be a Steeler. And now it opens up the waters for maybe a J.J. Watt joining the team. He's a little injury prone, but I think J.J. Watt could also have a great impact on the team.
How do you feel about the fact that I now have two Steelers season tickets?
I think that's great. We're going to go to every single Steeler game.
So bottom line is we need to keep the seats forever, and then we need to jump on a plane on Sunday mornings or Saturday nights, jump over to Pittsburgh. It's an hour flight. We can stay at that hotel we stayed at for TR's funeral. Remember, right there in Lebo, which is 10 minutes from the stadium. And then get up, go to games, or fly in day of game, have Fuzzy pick us up, go to the game, and then go to the airport after the game and fly home. What a plan.
Sounds like a plan to me.
How fantastic. Do you know that if I were to keel over, those tickets would be left in your name?
And that those tickets are going to stay in this family till the end of time.
We will never get rid of the Steeler season tickets. They are more important than your sister, your dog, your mother, your grandmother.
I'd say so, yeah.
The Steeler tickets are also more important than me. If I were to keel over and die, this would be advantageous to you because then they would be yours. So what you're saying is, in essence, you are hoping that I keel over. Then you would obtain the Steeler tickets.
As long as you can go to the Steeler games together, you can live, I guess.
So what you're saying is that you're willing to hang out with me for a 12 to 18 hour time period to go to a Steeler game as long as you get home within the 18-hour limit, because anything over 18 hours, you want nothing to do with me now that you're a teenager.
I'd say so, yeah.
So the less you have to do with me, the better.
No comment.
So I've been working on your basketball skills in the Ferrella court at the Ferrella Palatial. Does it drive you nuts when I work on your game?
No, but I think you're trying to teach me too many things about being a power forward or a center than being an actual point guard or a shooting guard. And I don't blame you for that since you are pretty tall and you mainly play power forward.
But you're getting taller by the day. You're taller than my friends now. And so you're going to be 6'3 or 6'4, and you are going to slot right into the power forward role. If you are a two guard now, you're headed to 3 and 4, believe me you. And if you have game outside as a shooting guard, and once you get big and you turn into me, because I was a guard too, and then I became a forward and a power forward, that's where you're headed, Romeo.
I hope I grow to be 6'3", 6'4". It's not guaranteed, but I think that'd be great. I'd love to be that tall and just be able to play basketball and be an all-around player. I just think that'd be great.
So your friends that live in the neighborhood think that they're going to the NBA. You are actually working on your bag of tricks, which is the key to you being a star at the high school level. Let's keep our dreams in check. What you need to do is make the next level team and have all kinds of repertoire shots.
I think just expanding my game to every aspect, whether it be defense or offense, I think it's important that I just round out everywhere. And right now I'm basically just a shooter, but I'd like to become much, 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 much more.
Do you find it difficult, and I'll just wrap this up, that half of our court is in muddy grass, and if the ball goes over into the muddy grass area, it is slippery and muddy and dangerous to shoot from over there, and it's the weak side, so your shot has to be at least a foot and a half, 2 feet higher and longer than a strong side shot.
Our court is horrendous, and that is why we are going to get a new one.
So you think we should build a half-court, full NBA, like we were playing in the tennis courts the other day with that kick-ass plastic court that was bouncy and spongy. Build a legitimate half-court, badass court like that.
I think that'd be great. I think it can make all of us better. Me, McKenna, and I guess you, since you're pretty bad already.
What would happen if I put in a 4-on-4 court? Do you think your mother would go for that, or would she rather have a pool, a Pharrell Aquatic Center like we used to?
She'd probably want a pool, but even when we had a pool, she didn't even use it. I think the court would be great. We could start selling tickets, having people watch, make some profit off of our backdoor court.
How about a backdoor court that pisses off the neighbors by adding nightlights?
Not even that. I think we should just add surround sound speakers, make it really loud, and we just play at 3 a.m. and just bop some hip-hop, and we just play basketball.
So gangster rap, nightlights, and everything that would upset the neighbors, except for Father Sean.
Of course. I love Father Sean.
Do you think Father Sean would bet on the games and drink at the games?
I think he would, and I think he would love watching me destroy you.
All right. Hey, listen, it's always great having you on the Pharrell on the Bench podcast, especially talking about the Steelers. You're very popular.
Yeah, I am more popular than you.
There you have it. The young gun getting involved, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Young gun, 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 the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, always fun to have him on the Pharrell on a Bench podcast. Shake it.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries,
Learn why Living All Out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.